Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning live, and we also rebroadcast Arthur on the weekend and also during our noontime hour. And what do we talk about? We talk about food one way or the other. Good morning, Arthur.
What else?
That's right. What else is there to talk about? That's
what else? Right. Well, when you're talking to me, you know, it's on my mind all the time, except when it gets really hot, yeah. Muggy, which should be any day now, although, as you just said, it's going to be good temperature in the next few days, even though it's going to be muggy. But my appetite turns to drinking more than eating when the weather gets really hot. And so let's call this I'm going to one-up the weather and talk about drinking today and not eating. Although, you know, you got to eat. You don't have to drink. So I don't know. Have you heard about the controversy over the Aperol Spritz?
Yes.
Good. The New York guy will explain. First of all, Aperol is a brand name. It's a product. Been on Italian bars for as long as I can remember. However, nobody I knew ordered it until maybe 10 years ago or so, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it's a orangey red alcohol, though it is extremely low in alcohol. It has less alcohol than a lot of craft beers do these days. It's 11% by volume, so I think that would be about 5 proof.
Yep.
I don't know. A beer is usually about 5 to 6 to 7, and this is 11. Anyway, and you don't drink it straight. In any case, the Aperol Spritz. Oh, so the taste. We've got to get to the taste. The taste is like it has been likened to cough syrup. It is mainly cloyingly sweet, although it does have a bitter edge to make it seem more adult, I suppose. But you drink it as this spritz, which is the Aperol with Prosecco. And Prosecco is not necessarily generic sparkling wine in Italy, but it has become a word used that way. The real Prosecco is from a delimited zone in the northeast around Venice, which is why Prosecco is so popular in Venice. So I don't want to do a whole thing on Prosecco now. You can buy them for anywhere from like $10 to $20 for any mixed drink, and it is used a lot in mixed drinks these days. Any one of them will do. Don't spend a lot of money on it. So it's Aperol, Prosecco, and seltzer, sparkling water. So that's what's called an Aperol Spritz. In my personal experience, only old ladies order this drink in Italy, and young people aren't so much into these sweet things. I don't know what's been happening the last few years because my Italian friend's telling me that cocktails and aperitifs have really taken off as a trendy thing lately. So who knows? I'll be back in Italy within a year and I'll report back my own personal experience. But, you know, it's a very mixed with Prosecco, which is also a very low alcohol sparkling wine. And in addition, sparkling water, you don't have much alcohol in this drink. And it's very refreshing if you like sweet drinks. And I think for this reason, it is a sweet, sparkling drink with a little bit of alcohol that young people in New York, I don't know where outside New York, but certainly in New York, and enough in New York that the New York Times wrote, I guess it was Eric Asimov, wrote a piece about the spritz is not a good drink. And to me, it's not a good drink. I didn't even read the story because I just agreed with the headlines. I didn't bother. But this story has created a controversy over it because so many people love their Aperol Spritz. They even did a segment on this drink on the Today Show in the morning because I guess it's Al Roker loves his Aperol Spritzes. And he's not the defensive type guy, but he did a very good positive segment on Aperol Spritz. Although one of his I don't watch the Today Show very often, but one of the panelists who I didn't know did liken it to Robitussin.
I was going to say, when you started talking about this, first thing that came to my mind was Robitussin.
That's it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
So the things that give it a flavor are things that are also used in other Italian aperitif beverages and and the bitters, which are now considered, bitters always used to be for after dinner, digestive, but nowadays people drink bitters before dinner. I have no objection. I happen to love bitters myself, and I always have a variety of different products in my house. So I can't disparage bitters, but I'm. Vermouth has taken a trendy wave, and now, and this trend is, I think, a very good trend. Two products in particular, Cocchi, C-O-C-C-H-I, two C's, I believe. Cocchi is an old-style sweet vermouth, so-called sweet vermouth, from Torino, where, in fact, this style of vermouth was invented. It is much more complex and bitter than the most popular red or sweet vermouth, which is Martini and Rossi. Is it Martini and Rosso or Martini?
Rossi.
Rossi, R-O-S-S-I. Martini and Rossi. Which, in fact, you can even see on menus as MR. It's so popular, people just know it as MR. Anyway, so Cocchi is one, and the other one is called Antica Formula, meaning antique formula. And it's a revival of the original style of Turin vermouth, which is a bitter vermouth. And dark-colored vermouth, not like anything like, you know, the vermouth we put in a martini. And just recently, by the way, so Antica Formula is around now because it's become trendy. Let me say, when you buy these in a restaurant, you're paying as much for a glass as you would for a whole bottle. So even though a whole bottle of Cocchi, for instance, is going to be about $20 or so, it goes a long way, and they charge, I don't know, $8 or $9 a glass in a restaurant. So now I've discovered a third one that I like called Antica Torino, and I don't know, I just found this in my local store, and I happen to know the importer who is local, so I think it's all around probably. This guy gets around. Antica Torino, and it's not inexpensive either. It was $20-something for this bottle. But, you know, as I say, you don't use a lot at one time, so it lasts a long time. It's not like a bottle of wine where you can finish half of it. Some people can finish a whole bottle of wine in a night. So Aperol, I don't even know what Aperol costs. I never bought it. I only tried a sip of my friend's one night in Italy. You know, this is when I go into a bar to have whatever I'm going to have. And maybe I'll be with some ladies who don't really drink. They'll order an Aperol spritz and maybe light on the Aperol. So just to have something in hand that, you know, is nearly non-alcoholic in their estimation. Moving on, red vermouth or Torino-style vermouth, to me, is the ideal mixer for a Manhattan. And this is the formula I've been using, or recipe I've been using for my Manhattans lately, because my nephew made me a Manhattan with these proportions, and I loved it so much that I've adopted his recipe. He's moved on to other things, but I'm still stuck at his Manhattans. Now, I use rye for the base of my Manhattans. History tells us that rye was probably the whiskey in the original Manhattan, which was invented at the Manhattan Club. It has a somewhat unbelievable history that you can read about in my book, New York City Food. Of course, New York City, Manhattan, New York City Food. Anyway, my formula is 2 ounces of rye, and I have been buying Rittenhouse rye, I guess because Brian lives in Pennsylvania, and he bought Rittenhouse rye, which is in fact a Philadelphia-style rye whiskey. I'm not sure what that entails, except some nice oak aging. And in fact, it's bottled in bond and 100 proof.
Well, good mind reading, because I was trying to figure out what Philadelphia style.
I'm not sure, but I think it has to do with barrel aging.
Okay.
So I don't know. I am something of a connoisseur of rye, and I would say it is a particularly spicy and full flavored rye. But my hypercritical and very competitive friend came in, tasted it, said, "Oh, it's a light rye," which was supposed to be disparaging. I would never describe it as a light rye. Rye has a particular spicy flavor. Like bourbon has a particular sweet flavor, even though it doesn't
any
sugar
in
it.
Right.
So anyway, back to my Manhattan. So 2 ounces of rye. This is a 3-ounce drink, as Brian calls it. And I can do that one a night to watch the news. 2 ounces of rye, 1 ounce of really good and bitter vermouth, either the Kolky or the Antica Formula or the Antica Torino. There may be a couple of others out there, but I'm not aware of them. It's starting to come into our market because this has become a little trendy kind of item, these style, old-style vermouth. By the way, they're quite bitter. So they verge on being Amaro, on being bitter. But they have many other notes. I would say they have more notes than a typical Amaro. So let me get back to my Manhattan. This applies. 1 ounce of your vermouth, and then I don't know where Brian learned this or if he invented this, but I went out and bought a bottle of maraschino liqueur, and I just put in, instead of a maraschino cherry, which is the traditional garnish on a Manhattan, I put in a few drops of maraschino liqueur, and it's a bitter Manhattan. It's a rich and bitter Manhattan. The real Manhattan should have bitters added to it. Angostura is fine. But I feel the vermouth is bitter enough that, I don't need to add bitters. By the way, one of the chief ingredients in not only Aperol, but I think Campari as well. By the way, Aperol and Campari similar color and are made by the same company, but don't confuse them. Campari is at least twice as bitter as Aperol. Not nearly. Well, it's a little bit sweet, but Aperol, I think, is on the sweet end, and Campari is on the bitter end. Now, where was I going with this? I mentioned gentian. That's where I was going with this. A main ingredient of all these products, including these Torino-style vermouths, is gentian. And I always thought that it was the same gentian that they would swab our mouth with. We're all old.
Gentian violet?
Pardon me?
It was called gentian violet. It was that.
That was called gentian violet.
Right.
Ends up not related.
I have
to find out more about gentian violet, why they did use it, to my horror always, and why they don't use it anymore. No young parent I know ever heard of it. But gentian is a very powerful, bitter herb, and so aromatic, the gentian used in these beverages, that I had myself a glass of, in a bar glass of vermouth, I don't remember which one exactly, and my friend Massimino, Cecilia's son, walked in, and he said, "Can we not sit with the drink, because it's a smell that I remember from my grandfather, and it's not a pleasant memory." So gentian is a very powerful bitter. Moving on to the Prosecco part, because the Aperol Spritz has Prosecco in it, there are products that are called Prosecco that do not come from the area designated for Prosecco. And those products, I don't really know what the labeling law is requiring. Prosecco is actually a grape variety, so it can be grown other places. It doesn't have to be grown in the delimited zone. But the ones that are grown in the delimited zone will say so. They'll have DOC, and they'll say one of the chief places is Valdo Biadine. These are the more expensive ones, unnecessary for these drinks. So moving on to another drink, with Prosecco, this is something I drank in southern Italy, in Basilicata, which is the nearly, not quite, but nearly landlocked region between Calabria and Puglia. And Basilicata, I think, has many, many charms, certainly gastronomic charms. But I was there this day that I drank this drink because friends of mine had their weekend house nearby, a little farmette, we could call it. Well, you know, it was a nice country house with a big garden where my friends grew vegetables, of course. In fact, we had to go. The soil is so rich where they were, Calvello is the name of the town, that the vegetables grew to be enormous, delicious and enormous. These must be the vegetables that the Romans saw when they entered the south of Italy, and they called it Campania Felix, meaning the happy countryside, because not only did they think the people were happy, they weren't. They were poor and horrible. But the things did grow, great growing. So we went to Calvello to watch a procession. And once a year, they carry the Madonna up from the mountain down to the valley and back up again, something like that. A lot of little towns in Italy, in the south in particular, have these rituals. But, you know, just because they're in the middle of nowhere, which Calvello is, doesn't mean that they're not sophisticated. This is something, you know, it's hard for Americans to understand, is that Italy is really an urban country, even though there's all this rural territory. But people are never so far from some kind of hub, education hub, communication hub, whatever. Basilicata has always been extremely backward, which is why people like my friends had summer houses there. That was the real countryside. In any case, we go to Calvello to watch the procession, and we're sitting on a piazza created by a man who owned both the restaurant and the food store. On the piazza. On
that's
one
a monopoly.
Side of the piazza, where they were selling vegetables and fruit, and there was a counter selling, you know, sliced preserved meats, you know, salamis and blah, blah, blah. And on the other side was a big restaurant. And then everybody gathered out on the terrace, was really amounted to a piazza, a man-made piazza, not a urbanly created piazza. It was not in the middle of the countryside. To watch the procession go by. It was a very, very nice day. The food was great. And this drink was exactly the refreshing thing that we needed. I call it the Calvello cocktail. It really didn't have a name, but the name of the restaurant is Pietra Panna, and that's the name of the chef owner. If he's still there. This is quite a while ago. And here's the drink. Now, you make a. This is great for a party because you make a base, and then at the last minute, you make the drink. The base is a cup of orange juice, a half a cup of carrot juice. I thought that was very sophisticated. This is at least 15 years ago, that they were making something like this.
Do you like carrot juice?
In Basilicata. So one cup of orange juice, a half a cup of fresh carrot juice, meaning, it should be juiced that day. My little market around the corner makes carrot juice every morning, so I can buy fresh carrot juice.
Do you like it?
There is carrot juice in the dairy department. I never bought that. It's probably okay.
Do you like carrot juice?
Or do you just like carrot juice?
Do you sit back?
It's not something I normally drink.
Okay. No. So but you're happy to use it as an ingredient?
Yeah. Well, okay. There's more to it now.
I understand.
A quarter of a cup of Campari and the juice of a half a lemon. Now, a juice of a half a lemon is a tablespoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice. Lemons vary in the amount of juice they give. So a half a lemon is sort of vague for some people. And that's it. You mix up the juices, and you keep it chilled with the Campari, and you keep it chilled in the refrigerator. And when you're ready to serve, you fill a champagne tulip, or any glass, with about a third. You fill the glass with about a third full is how I should say it, with this juice base, and then top it off with sparkling wine. It doesn't even have to be Prosecco. It could be any inexpensive sparkling wine. As you can see, there's a lot else going on there. So the taste of the wine is sort of immaterial. Oh, it's not really immaterial, because if you use a really aggressively bad wine, it's going to make a difference. You want a rather neutral sparkling wine. That's it. It's really great. You can name it whatever you want to name it.
Okay.
I call it the Calvello cocktail. I like alliteration. It's now, still on the Prosecco mode, when I was doing my cooking classes in Pestum, we invented this cocktail. Actually, I must say, Sean Brady, my then assistant, my young 20-something at that point, not anymore, assistant, invented this cocktail, which is nothing. It's Prosecco with a few drops or more of limoncello. By the way, everybody, it's not limoncello, it's limoncello, because the word for lemon in Italian is
limone.
It's funny you mentioned that, because when you started this whole thing 20 minutes ago, the second thing that crossed my mind was limoncello. I don't know why.
Because
with limoncello?
Yeah,
because you've been
brainwashed. I'm never without a bottle, I have to say.
Plus, Arthur makes it.
Brent Prindle makes some great limoncello, too.
Yeah, well, I must say now, while we're saying I make it, I haven't made it in a couple of years, although I have this bottle that's still viable from a couple of years ago. But I have been seeing in my markets Sorrento lemons, the lemons that limoncello is really made from. And those lemons that are coming from Sorrento, they're not inexpensive. They're usually like a dollar each. And you need 12 of them to make my recipe, which will come out with a couple of liters. So that's not so bad after all, $12. They have no wax on their skin. They're organic, and they're very fragrant. You just smell the bag they come in, and it's much better than your normal lemon. And another drink, and I've been making rather regularly, is a whatever sour, a rye sour, bourbon sour. I'm using up little bits of whiskey. I don't have room for so many bottles anymore. So I'm using up bits of whiskey that I can easily go out and buy again if I want. So whatever the whiskey is, it's a whiskey sour. 2 ounces of whiskey, 1 ounce of lemon juice, and 1 ounce of simple syrup, one-on-one, sugar and water boiled together. Yeah, of course, cool it. I'm keeping a bottle on my counter these days. So I shake that very, very vigorously with 3 ice cubes in my shaker, and then I pour it over the rocks. It will get a little bit of foam, the way you see whiskey sours in bars. But the bars add either a powder that gives that foam, I think it could be egg white powder, or an egg white is the real way to do it, but I don't bother with that. Certainly I don't want to waste an egg just for a cocktail foam. So I should try it one day. So back to the lemons. So now I've become very picky about the lemons I buy, because I need them to give me 2 tablespoons each. And there are lemons around right now. I bought some. Everybody understand how expensive lemons have gotten?
Yes.
I mean,
we don't understand why.
I don't know. What's the price in Sharon?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know the.
Around here they go for. It could be as much as 89 cents a lemon, 69 cents a lemon. The best price is usually $3 for $2. My inexpensive and grand produce market that I have to drive to had them 3 for $1 the other day, and they were the big ones. Look for if you want juice from lemon. Look for skin peel that is not as bumpy as the other lemons in there. In other words, look for the smoother, and of course, they should have a nice bright color. Almost all lemons that we buy in the market have wax on them. And what happens when you make limoncello with those peels is, I call it lemon schmutz.
That's right.
when you put the whole... drink together. After it sits a little bit, you're going to see a little gray film.
Yeah. Yeah. What's schmutz in Italian?
Schmutz. It's
schmutz. No, I don't know.
We'll find out because we could just.
But I mean, I'm trying to think. Is there a slangy word?
Right.
Because schmutz is Yiddish.
I understand.
So
it
I guess
a great word.
You know, it just means dirt.
I guess what's most frustrating is people who can't say. I'm thinking of someone in particular. They'll say schmutz. It's like no.
Well, you know.
Smuts.
I just get a kick out of the fact that people named Smith and Jones use...
Schmutz.
Wait. The more popular names in the U.S. now are not Smith and Jones. It's Martinez and Hernandez.
See.
And they also use schmutz.
Or schmutz. So Marshall is making this wind-up.
My housekeeper
emotion knows
every Yiddish word. I mean, not only that, but she can make your house kosher for Passover.
That's as it should be. Isn't she the one who taught you about chickens, live chickens?
No, she didn't teach me anything about live chickens, I don't think.
Somebody did.
I learned a lot from Irene, but...
Not live chickens? Okay.
Not about chickens. Well, no, she's she is a wonderful cook, and I could say that because she's not only brought me food, but I've been to her house for dinner. But her husband's a professional chef.
Oh, there you have it.
So, yeah, anyway.
All right.
Anyway... Back to the bottle.
Back to the bar.
All right.
I brought out the bottle of Antica Torino so I could see, make sure I remembered to mention it, because it's a nice product. And I'm pretty sure new to the market and distributed by somebody we all know, so I don't want to go there.
All right.
All right, take care, kids. Have a great week, everybody. Keep cool and dry.
Santé.
Hydration is the word. Okay, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.